This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
The strategy we are going to learn today is on itchy ears. I titled it, Avoid Itchy Ears. What does this mean? When you look at scriptures very well, you will notice that there was a season in human history, biblically speaking, when people have an understanding of each other and everybody spoke with one voice and they had the same meaning, they had the same understanding. When you look at Genesis chapter 11, you will see that when men were building the Tower of Babel, the Bible said they had a few words, and yet they had one understanding. They were able to communicate in such a way that everybody understood everybody. They were all on the same page. There were no dissenting voices. Nobody protested against building the Tower of Babel. Nobody was saying, no, this is not God. Nobody. All of them sat down, agreed, and they were working on it together. And they were so united, even though in the wrong purpose. The Bible said they had one voice. That means they had one understanding. They had one ability to be able to look at the situation, and all of them formed a coalition, and there was no dissenting voice. Nobody argued. Nobody turned against the others and said, I'm not going with you. Nobody was in the opposition. Nobody protested. Bible said everybody just decided they were going to join hands with their Tower of Babel, and they were building it. And God said, oh, this thing is dangerous. Because if all of them agree to do the right thing, that's fine. But once they agree to do the wrong thing, nobody could call them to order. There was no prophets that could tell them, this thing you are doing is wrong. There was no voice. Everybody was just facing one direction. God said, no, 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 no. These people are united. That's a plus. But they are united in disobedience. It is not good for them to have this kind of a robotic mindset in which everybody will just be facing the same direction and there will be nobody that could think in another way, that could think in another fashion. Everybody was just thinking in the same way. No. This is not good for humanity. So the Bible said, God changed it. God spoke, and the language they were speaking, the meaning languages they were speaking changed, which then meant people's thinking changed. And so people began to question as individuals whatever others told them. We were no longer following the hypodermic needle syringe in which people just tell you, go for all right and jump into the river and you will just do it. No. People began to question, this thing they told me to do, is it logical? Is it right? Is it good for me? We began to ask questions. As a result of asking questions, we created another problem. The problem of dissenting voices, alternate realities. What do I mean by this? You remember that when Moses came to save the children of Israel, there are people that protested against Moses among the Jews. They were just, no matter what he did, they would grumble. No matter what he did, they would argue. They just couldn't align. They will have their own record of things. The same thing with Jesus. Jesus came perfect without any blame. Some people wrote that, oh, it was a Roman soldier that gave Mary the pregnancy. Some people said Jesus had a wife. Some people said Jesus was gay. Some people said Jesus really didn't die on the cross. Some people said when he was on the cross, he shifted, and another person died on his behalf. You see the problem now? Because now people have the opportunity to question reality. People began to develop alternate truths. Alternate truths. Somebody will just sit down and it will come to him. The person will say, that man, we know his father. Father was a carpenter. Was a nobody. Who is their mother? Please don't believe him. That one is not a prophet. That is, he just started his own, and people will believe him. Same with David. David became king. Shimei came out and said, who is this one? Usurper, throne stealer. Oh, Barawo, God has caught you. Well, he believed sincerely what he was saying, that he believed so much that David stole the throne. And because he believed he had the conviction of it, he was able to tell people with vehemence what he believed, even though he was wrong. But if you listen to him, it is possible for you to believe him. It is possible for you to believe those who said, oh, only some elders will go to heaven. Every other person will stay on the earth. And that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there is still no heaven for us to go to. At the end of it, all of us will stay in this world. It is easy to believe. It is easy to believe if you have ears. When you have ears, every wind of doctrine comes an opportunity for investigation for you. I remember some years ago, a friend of mine joined a particular church, and I was an undergraduate in the University of Ghana, and he came to my house to see me. I hadn't seen him for a while. He used to be a choir leader in church, and then he joined a totally different sect, not even close to what we believe. He joined the Church of Mormon, and then he was looking for somebody to recruit to the Church of Mormon. And he felt, this guy that we both play together, that is close to me, let me talk to him. So he came to my house and he began to tell me about this new church he joined, where there are new churches, how they built the church, the Cedar of Lebanon that they used to make their pews, the kind of music they play. He said, am I busy or am I free? I said, oh, I wasn't doing anything. He said, oh, no problem, I should come. We went out together. He took me to the church, somewhere in Ibadan, somewhere around Oluyole Estate, somewhere around there. We went. He took me there, spoke to me, told me that they don't allow speaking in tongues, but he speaks in tongues. He told me about baptism of the dead, told me about many things. When I got back to my house, he gave me a Bible, their Bible, which had the Bible plus the Book of Mormon. He said, I should read the Bible, I should read it, and then I should talk to God, that God will talk to me if indeed what I believe is right or what he has told me is the true gospel. I went to my house, took his book, took the Bible I've always known all my life, compared the two stories. I'm a writer. Compared the two stories, the story of Moroni and all the whatever, all the other things, and compared it with scripture. I realized that when I was reading one, my spirit was quickened. When I was reading the other one, my brain was feeling dull. I said, this is not the same spirit. These are not this. I said, there's a prophet, Jesse James. I said, no. I let him be. I focused on my Jesus. At another time in my life, I was introduced to another church. This one, they have candles that they burn, and then they have a lot of perfumes and all these things. They wear white garments. And somebody had I met a girl who was attending the church, and I joined. And when I got there, I saw all sort of fetish things. I was like, nah. Why? Because I've known the truth. The truth has set me free. I am not in the process of trying to find out anything beyond Christ. Some of us think that, oh, there's one prophet over there. We run to his church. There's another prophet over there. We run to his church. Then there's another prophet over there. We run to his church. All around the southwest, especially in Nigeria, you see all sorts of people claiming to be people of God, practicing all sorts of haberdashery, all sorts of antichrist sentiment, all sorts of traditional fetish things, all sort of vain oblation. You see Christians, they say, oh, they have a problem. They want the problem to go away. Because of that, they wouldn't care whether they go to drink water from the devil or they go to listen to a witch or a wizard. They think the end justifies the means. So they have itchy ears. Ears that is weary or eager to hear the new thing. What is the new thing? Unless I can say, okay, they go there. Olorun now, lo sele bayi, they go there. Olorun, erase the eraser, lo sele, they go there. The God of thunder and lightning, they go there. The God of down and up. Every new trend, every new trend, every new development, whenever they hear something new, have you been to Okeigbala? They have gone there. Okewoso, they have gone there. Abele Petele, they've gone there. On top of the mountain, they go there. They became people that have no standing, no locus, no foundation. We are the anchor, steadfast and sure, while the billows roll. A Christian is anchored. A Christian is anchored. The word of God, anything outside of the scriptures, you will not negotiate with anyone with it. You will not allow anybody to tell you that the scripture is this, or it is that, or it is upside down, or it is downside up. No, you will wait. You will read the scriptures. You will get the accurate interpretations of the word of God. You will stay with it. It will enlighten your spirit so that your thinking will be aligned with that of God. For there are alternative spirits all over the world. The Bible says so many strange spirits have gone all over the world preaching their own version of the gospel. And it is not new. It is not new. In Nigeria alone, and West Africa and Africa, the versions of Christianity we have is over 200. I didn't say Christianity, I said version. Different version. Everybody claiming that they know the gospel, and everybody trying to use one means or the other to show people, to hoodwink people, to draw people into their circle, into their cult, into their mindset. And yet, the Bible is the most available book in the world. Still the number one bestseller. Still the one book that you can read 200, 300 times and it will always be new. Still the one book that you will read and you will ascend into heavens. It is still the most bought, the most interpreted, the most translated, the most explained. You have thousands and thousands of teachers who have done works on the scriptures. We keep all their materials. I still have materials from the days of Benihin, from the Prince of the Scriptures, from the days of Keletegin, from Wigglesworth. I still had teachings from those people. They are not only available online, they are available to download. So to say that you didn't hear of Tasfini, you can read, you can. To say that you did not know C.S. Lewis, I've read all his books. I never met him alive. He died in 1963. I'm still reading this book. To have an itchy ear as a Christian is a dangerous thing. You will never be anchored. The Lord will never be able to speak to you clearly. Today you are in this church. This pastor is saying, I am the covering of your destiny. Tomorrow you are in that church. That one is saying, oh, if you don't come to me, you will not be saved. Let's know. In all these things, you are nothing but commodity. Everybody is just trying to put their hand into your pocket. I've been told so before. When you win a soul, you win his pocket. I was shocked the first time I heard it. People just saw Christians as sheep to be milked, to be fleeced. And because Christians refuse to read the scriptures so that they'll be grounded in the truth, they become like flax, like chaff before the wind, easy to dislodge, easy to blow here, easy to blow there, easy to direct in any direction. Today they are following the word of faith. Tomorrow they have become champions of holiness. Next tomorrow they are the ones conducting deliverance. The day after that they are the one preaching grace. Day after that they are the one sharing video of one thing that one man that went to one program said. After that they are the ones talking about some it, as they are hearing of demons, they are hearing of spirits, they are hearing of conduct. A Christian who does not have who is not anchored. Who does not know how to divide the dividing line between lies and the truth? That is not a Christian. So many voices. There is no space for being still, for knowing who God is. He said, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted. You have to come to a place where your fellowship with the Father is greater than anybody's call to any meeting. Your fellowship is greater than anybody's call to any meeting. You must know him for yourself, not in the way that somebody explained him to him. I talk when I discuss with some pastors. Every time they open their mouth, you know what they say? Our general overseer said. But that was what general overseer said. Our general overseer said, I said, you have a Bible. Is it an anathema for you to read it that you may know it for yourself? Are you supposed to be quoting people from their own life experiences, from their own, you are using them to validate what you know? But Christ is your validation. Your general overseer might be wrong. There are general overseers that have been wrong, that have come out in public to say, oh, I said something, I was wrong. There is no general overseer that is 100% perfect, but the word of God is perfect. It is in walking in the word that you are made perfect. It is not in walking in the word of people. And if you quote to me, oh, Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, Paul had his flaws. And they were well documented in scripture. Apostle Paul had his flaws. He was not a perfect man in the flesh. And so, if he was the one you are imitating, you are going to have your flaws. Is it not better to eliminate the flawed one and to focus on Christ? He is still the risen Lord. He is still the one that is living inside of you. You do not have to imitate your general overseer in order to imitate Christ. Let your fellowship with the Holy Spirit be pure. Let it be personal. Be humble enough to say, this Bible, I don't have to read it in King James Version so that people will think that I'm sounding like them. No, I will find the most simple English version. I will sit and I will read it. Not so that I can use it to preach or to be talking. No, I just want to know the word of God for myself. Somebody sent me a video recently. The video of certain people, African religion practitioners. I remember when I was in Ghana, I met one of them who told me that he practices African spirituality. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, how can you be worshiping the God of those who took you into slavery? Somebody came into your country, told you that all the things your forefathers believed were wrong, brought you a foreign ideology, made your parents slaves, took away your economy, took away your mineral resources, made himself king over you. And yet you are serving is God. And this person was talking, and I saw some people commenting. And I said to myself, you see, they do not understand scripture. They do not understand the role men play. They do not understand the role of the truth. They do not understand the role of God. And because they have itchy ears, it is so easy to lie to them, to pour bile in their ears, and to turn their hearts away from God. So easy. Those who are very successful to this, those who do not know how to rest in the Lord, those who are eager to solve a problem and who always think they are helpless. A Christian is not supposed to think he or she is helpless. But when you see a Christian who always consistently think they cannot do anything by themselves, they are helpless. They usually run from pastor to pastor, from pillar to post, trying to find somebody to help them, thinking that in that endeavor, that is how to be a good mother. That is how to be a good father. That you can't just sit down. If your child is having some difficulty, you must step out. So they begin to step out wherever they can step into. They just step, either it is snakes den or den of a rattlesnake or den of lion. They just be putting their head everywhere. You ask them, why are you running up and down? My daughter is not married. My son does not have a good job yet. As a good mother, I cannot just sit down. I must be running to and fro. You know those who run to and fro, how the Bible described them? The Bible said it is the devil. I'm not kidding. The Bible said it is the devil that goes to and fro. He has nowhere to lay his head. A Christian who knows the word of God does not run helter skelter. He has authority. He has power. He has dominion. He has the name of Jesus. He is full of the Holy Spirit. Please, what do you want to take away from a Christian that will make a Christian somebody that has to be running here and there, looking for what, searching for what, to who, through who, from where to where? There are some of us, we sit down in one place. We are moving from one pastor, one bishop to one bishop to one apostle. When you listen to 5 minutes from this, you listen to 2 minutes from this, you listen to 3 minutes from that, you have turned yourself into a consumer of snapshots and all sorts of talks. The 1 minute you are watching in Daboski, the next minute you are watching one apostle that said that those who pray 7 hours, those who don't pray 7 hours, they will be attacked. After that, you are watching one that is talking about Valentine. After, you do not know anything about scripture. Christ has become to you an entertainment. Christ has become unto you an entertainment. Therefore, you do not have time to sit down in a lowly place and talk to God. You do not hear the voice of your own spirit. It's one of the things that one of my litmus tests to test a good Christian. When I meet a good Christian, when I want to know if somebody is a good Christian personally, I go into the person's space. Maybe I come to your house to greet you. And then after greeting, I will sit down and be quiet. Typically, people expect that. If you have a guest, you have to entertain the guest. And so, in order to entertain the guest, you must run your mouth. You must begin to talk because that is entertainment. You must begin to say, hey, so my son, my daughter, my father, my uncle, this is my this is my dad. This is, they think that is entertainment. That is worldly way of engaging people. When you meet a Christian, sincerely, you can sit down. And both of you would cherish certain moments of silence in between conversation. Your spirit would agree, and there'll be very little to say, and there'll be so much of spiritual reality dispensed in between the two of you. If the person is indeed a Christian, and you are indeed a Christian, you don't have to talk so much. There are some people, they can't stand silence. They must run their mouth. Silence is making them scared. When things are too quiet, they get unsettled. Meanwhile, the Bible says in quietness, you renew your strength. Some people cannot afford it. If the television is not talking, radio must be talking. If not, they must be listening to music. Something must be doing. Otherwise, the silence scares them. Why? A Christian is a lover of silence. Meditation is a perfect example of this. I work in a lot of silence. It's one of those things about me. So sometimes I'll just stay in my room. I'll switch off all the light. During the day, I'll switch off the light. Especially if it's a Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday. I'll just switch off all the light. I just want to be quiet. Pray in the spirit or listen to tongues or listen to worship and then be quiet. And the word of God will come. It will come easy. I do not have to say, oh, Father, talk to me. No. It will come to me. Even sometimes I'll be sitting down, I'll sit down. Maybe I will sit down. Maybe I'm having a conversation with my wife or someone. And suddenly I'll just feel that the voice of God is saying, ah, stop that. Come and talk to me now. Come and talk to me now. So I'll tell my wife, you have to excuse me now. I have to talk to the Lord because he has come and he's waiting for me. And I'll just put off the light and then we'll have a conversation. And it is a thing of beauty, a personal relationship between you and God. This one, there is no third party. How can a Christian born again be willing to third parties to talk to his own father or to our own father? And he or she thinks it is normal. I want to pray. Let me go and see Pastor this. I want to go and see Bishop that. I want to go and see Bishop this. I want to go and see. What about you? What kind of a son had to get a third party? When I was young, it's only after somebody has done something wrong. When you have committed an offense, I remember maybe one of my sisters that broke one of the very fine china plates or whatever plates that they had at home that time. She broke it and then she ran. She ran from the house because she was thinking that she was going to be very punished. And then when she was coming back, she came with one of the neighbors to come and help her beg. Hey. So if you have done something terrible, maybe you can go call a neighbor. But a child in his own father's house does not need a third party to get him to talk to God. God is available. He is accessible, but our ears are too itch. Remember when Apostle Paul was talking in the early church, he said some people are preaching Christ. He said, but the Christ they are preaching is for their belly. They just want to preach Christ that they may eat, that they may take advantage of people. You go to a mountaintop, you see them there. People go to them. They come and give you false prophecies. False prophecies that will mislead people. They would label somebody's mother a witch. I kid you not. Years ago, several years ago, those days, I was quite young and I was quite troublesome. I had this friend. We are doing this program in the church, harvest. And when they have harvest, they will cook rice, they will eat, there will be drinks. I thought, oh, let me go and eat free food on a Sunday. So I went there for the kore, for the harvest. And this prophetess just zoomed in on me. And she said to me, Haley, 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 Haley. Ah, son of man, 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 son of man. Why did you pick the cross? No. She said, what do you do? What do you do, son of man? What do you do? So I was like, okay, let me hold my undergraduate. So I said, so I was an undergraduate. And she said, so why did you pick the course that you picked that you are studying? This is an illiterate woman. Woman that last, she was speaking in Yoruba language. I was the one that was saying it in English. Yeah, she even told her you are studying meteorological science. She don't know what it means. That illiterate. She wants me to come to her to help me pick the course I will study in school. Illiterate. Stop illiterate. And then I said, oh, I was studying linguistics. And then she said, you're studying linguistics. Oh, Leah, 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 Leah. Did you know that your mother is a witch? I'm telling you. And she just brought that weak thing. I slapped her. If you see the kind of slap I gave her, oh my God, the whole place stood still. I couldn't believe. My hand was very quick. I started praying after that, that God, please, let me be talking to people. Don't let me be responding in my hand. I do not like violence. But I couldn't believe that she would go there. My mother is a witch. My mother. If she stood before my mother at that time, my mother would strip her naked with the word of God. My mom. It was rice I went to eat. And this one was going to turn me against my mother. Right there. Oh, when I gave her the slap, it was a resetting slap. She took Sudan back. And the old usher and the pastor came and everybody, what happened? I said, she called my mother a witch. I didn't call her a witch. I didn't call your mother a witch. She came out of the speech. She started defending what she said. I didn't call your mother a witch. I said, you should go to her that she may bless you. And that was what I was going to say. And you have slapped me. You have slapped me. I have slapped you. You have crossed the Rubicon. Call a witch. She's a witch. She's my mom. I don't put it in your mouth. She nurtured me till I got to this age, fed me, nurtured me. She didn't kill me. She didn't destroy me. I was on the way up. I'm going to put, I do not have a chance. I resist it. I hate it. It is a question of intelligence for me. I couldn't believe it. There are people that are very intelligent. If anybody is ever intelligent, that you will know the truth and somebody will persuade you away from it. No matter what the person has to give, you are the custodian of what you believe in your own mind. I will not allow anybody to take over my mind and turn my mind into a factory of their own thoughts. Take my thoughts. And I will own my thoughts. This is what I believe. I have every right to believe what I believe. It has to be what I believe. It's not going to be belief according to Mr. A or belief according to Mr. B. An old pastor, 83 years old, blind, needed help. All his children had gone crazy with drugs. He was dead. Somebody drove him down to my office that I should pray with him. I saw him. He came down. He was 83. He was blind. All five children, drug addicts, no future. And he came to me and he said, help me, my son. Help me. And as I was praying for him, I said, ah, you are 83 now. You are old. But you made some monumental mistakes. How did you come to join this particular cult? He didn't know that the Lord would show it to me. And he said, wow, God told you I belong to that cult? I said, yes. He said, when I was in OAU, I asked question and they told me that one professor was in that cult. And I said, if professor so-and-so can join this cult, then why won't I join it? And if anybody asked me, I would say, if a professor can be in the cult, then I should, there's something wrong with me being in the cult. I was like, really? Because somebody is a, I have seen a professor that Guru Maharaj was collecting all the salary before. Professor. Professor with the wife that every month all the salary goes to give it to Guru Maharaj. I know the man in UI when I was in UI. So that somebody is a professor is does not mean the person can think. There is nothing like the word of God. There is nothing like it. And you must know this word for yourself. So listening to me today, I am deliberating. Trying to ensure that Christians have critical thinking, that they can think for themselves. Why am I doing this? Somebody comes, oh, this is the God's position on this topic. Another person comes, this is God's position on the same topic. Five Peters are talking on the same topic. Okay, take your Bible. The Bible has only one position. Only one. The position of the scriptures. I mean it till tomorrow. If you take the position of the scriptures, you are on the right way. That is it. That is the narrow road. The position of the scriptures. What did he say about sin? That sin is what destroyed the whole world, right? that all men are guilty of it. What did he say about righteousness? That our sin came to the world through one man. Righteousness has come into the world through one man. What did he say? That those who believe in that man have become righteous. It's as simple as ABC. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 7. You read it, you see it, you believe it. No matter what anybody then preaches, as long as it is contradictory to the word of God, you will not believe because you know what you read by yourself. At least it is in the Bible. That is the truth. No matter what slant or interpretation people give to it, it does not matter anymore. Like I said, because of what happened in Genesis 11, people think in different ways. We've been given that privilege to think in different ways. So nobody can. I was brainwashed. All of us are thinking the same way. No, we all have the right to own our thoughts, but what you believe is seriously affected by the things you hear, by the company you keep. Your faith can be eroded and your faith can be strengthened. There was a man called Job. He found himself in trouble. His friends came to talk to him. And by the virtue of their words, his faith was eroded. He got to a point he was drowning. He said, "Oh, I wish I have an advocate. Somebody that will defend me. Somebody that will fight for me." The people that are supposed to come and strengthen him, they couldn't. I'll give you an example. This is quite practical. Somebody died some years back. Somebody died, had a motor accident and died. A Christian, a good Christian. The pastor of the person called me and said, "I believe that we can raise this guy from the dead." That is good. That is faith. Another person called me and said, "Yes, let us raise this man from the dead." Became three. A fourth person joined us. "Yes, let us raise this man from the dead." Became four. "Okay, where is he? Let us go and raise him from the dead." Somebody said, "No, let us go to one place and collect a handkerchief from the general overseer that started." When we are going to collect handkerchief, another person said, "I just saw him. Oh, he was smiling. I think he's trying to tell us that we should not raise him, that he's happy where he is. We should leave him." Everybody's doubt started speaking. I said, "No." I said, "You guys are trying to cough out. Four of us agree we are going to raise the dead. The worst that can happen is that the man will not rise from the dead. But you have not even gotten to the place. One of you already said, unless you collect a handkerchief from somebody that is very difficult to see, that you cannot go because that is the only anointed person in the world you know who can use his anointing to raise the dead. All of us that are there, we are not anointed. We are born again, full of the Holy Spirit. Our own anointing is not enough. The instruction that we will raise the dead to us, it's only to that deal it applies to." Fine. Then all of us got in the car, we are going. Then you said, "I just saw him now. I just saw him now. He's smiling. He's smiling at us. Yes. I think he said we should not wake him. We should leave him. Let us just leave him. Let us not tempt God. Let us not wake him." Some of us are Christians, but you can see how the heart. Eventually, by the time I would get to where the man is, because I got to where the man is, I was in the mortuary. I went there. I went to look at him. I went to lay my hands on him. Because I didn't want them to affect my thinking. They all went back. Everybody followed their conviction. The one with handkerchief went to look for his handkerchief. The one that said they had seen him came down from the car and said he felt he shouldn't go anymore. He's already convinced that he should go home. He should not raise dead anymore. Okay. Remaining two of us, I said, "Okay, we will go." We went there. We prayed for this dead person. This person did not rise that day. I'm not kidding. The person did not rise. I wasn't disappointed. I prayed for him. He did not rise. As I walked out of the mortuary, I sat down outside. I was saying that something will happen today. Something will happen today. Something will happen here today. My faith was so strong. I knew that something must happen. This guy must rise. 1 hour, 2 hours. And I had prayed. I had done everything I could. I sat there and the Lord said to me, "Ah, I will honor your faith. I would honor your faith. You have faith in me. I would honor your faith. I went up that day. I didn't know what the Lord was saying. A day after, literally the day after, in the morning, the pastor of my church called me, said, "Where are you?" I said, "Well, I want to go and see somebody." He said, "Come, put me in the car." Said, "We are going to see a friend of mine." We got to the place where we see the friend at Ogudu. The friend was a German, the German woman. And the woman had cancer. And we got there, and the pastor said, "I want you to pray for this woman. She had an operation tonight. She's going to Germany for an operation." But as I was in my room, I said, "Let me call Jezebel. You should come and pray for this woman. So I want to pray for her. Just pray for her as the Lord will lead you." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I laid hands on this woman to pray for her. Within a minute, me that yesterday I labored over death and death refused, life refused to come. Within a minute, the woman that was being prepared to be carried to the hospital, she jumped out. She was running up and down. She was running. She was running. Eventually, she said, "Let's go to the hospital." We went to Redington. We went there. The test was fine. Everybody said, "Oh my God, they had already cut her intestine twice before. Even the place where they cut has been, it's not back to normal." I said, "My God." And the Lord said, "Sadly, the Lord said, because of what you did yesterday, because you stood on your word, you stood on the word, I have honored you." I will never forget that day. That those who believe in the Lord, who follow Him, who are true to the word of God, the Lord is ever willing to show forth for them. Ever willing. And those who backed out, those who couldn't go the 9 yards, those who couldn't go the 9 yards, they would follow a little, and then a little wind would take them here. A little wind, they would never be consistent in the walk. Don't be like that. Be consistent. There is great reward for those who are consistent when it comes to their faith, the way they walk with God, the scriptures, not the words of men. The definition of sin changed from generation to generation. I did the test among the ministers on a group 2 days ago. You know, I did the test. I was deliberate about it. Even they didn't know it was a test. I said to them, I said, if somebody had been dating somebody and they were sexually intimate, and then the person now is getting married to somebody else, can you invite that ex to the wedding? And people started giving their opinion. Do you know that nobody, none, not one, wrote there to say, what is the point of this intimacy if it is not going to head in a particular direction, if they are not married? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because over the years, the definition of the things that our great grandfathers believed had changed. Definition had changed of all things. The only thing that is consistent is Christ. I try to prove this over and over. I do not do the kind of Christianity where it's just theory and people are doing one thing and preaching another thing. No, I like Christianity to be real. I like the faith I practice to be real. And I like it to be in line with the word of God, not in line with any sycophancy or in line with any rule on boss and culture and traditions that are like shifting sands. I like the word of God to be what it is to me, to build me up and to be built up by the word. It is important that a believer thinks this way. It is important that a believer will be the only Christian in Afghanistan, and in 20 years, nothing can make him change his mind. Not the culture, not the whatever, but because he is convinced from within that this is the truth. Avoid the chair. There's one more itchy air that you should avoid as a Christian. It is a very dangerous itchy air that many Christians end up being victims of. Their faith will be strong. They will be full of the Holy Spirit. They know the truth. They know the truth. But this particular itchy hair, it affects those who lack depth, who are very surface people, who are given to societal norms and social validation. Remember what the Bible said concerning Moses? The Bible said Moses saw an Ethiopian woman, a black woman who was very beautiful. And then Moses married the woman. Bible said after Moses married the woman that Aaron was not happy. Miriam was not happy. Datha, Korah, and Abiram, they were not happy. The reason they were not happy was not because of Moses' calling, was not because of Moses' leadership, was not because there was no food or there was no water or there was no basic things for the children of Israel. No. The reason they were unhappy was because they had put their life into Moses' personal life. They had put their nose into his personal life. There are some Christians, their itchy ear has a lot to do with running their mouth about other people's personal affairs. They want to know what is the latest with Oduyemade. What is the latest with Selma? Who is he dating? What is the latest with Pastor Toto? What happened to him? The scandal of they are not confident and happy with just knowing the Lord and working with the Lord. They must poke their nose into JSW's personal life. They must. It is in their system that, oh no, we do not know our boundary. We have to poke our nose into places that is not our business. Their ears are so itchy. They want to hear the latest gist. What is going on? They think it is what gives them relevance. They run their mouth. What happened to that Korah and Abiram? The said that Moses was infuriated. The land opened and swallowed them up. They were anointed. They were part of the 70 Sanhedrins. It was itchy air. Putting your nose, your mouth, in people's business, in places. A Christian must learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit in such a manner that he abounds and abases at will without any blemish. It is what Christianity is about. I do not care about anybody's business. I say it with all my chest. Your personal life is your life. If my life is interesting enough, I should be so preoccupied with my life, I will not have any business with you. If your life is boring, you need to find something to make your life. You need to begin to do evangelism, meet new people, win souls, all people, disciple them, counsel people. When you are dealing with these issues, you will not have time for this itchy hair problem that is very popular in churches. A lot of pastors will write to me, oh, I've seen what this thing does, what one does in my fellowship, in my, I tell them, do not encourage it. Do not do this. Do not do that. Teach the word of God unabated and let the people know this is what happens here. These are the guidelines. Itchy hairs put a lot of Christians in trouble. It questions your integrity. It makes people question if they can confide in you, if they can talk to you. If somebody's giving you feedback and say, ah, this person, let me confide in him or her, he or she should know that when they speak with you, that there is their pride and their issues are not blown open, and that you become the very person that would begin to transfer it everywhere. If there are no mongers, there will be no gossip. No, gossip dies when nobody is listening to it. When somebody comes and say, ah, I have a gist, you say, I'm not interested. Person will go away. The fact that you are listening means that there is a market for it. Itchy hairs are batting at every level. In business, they are bad. In ministry, they are bad. In a marriage, they are bad. In a family, they are bad. They are bad. You must avoid it. It is a slippery slope that every believer must avoid. Are you a Christian? Are you on the call? People do adverts to attract Christians. You never see me do an advert. People say, "Oh, but I've been got a billboard." I said, "No, but I've been got. We never see you. We do. Nobody wrote to me. We never see you promoting your." I said, "No. You know, because what I know from Scripture is that the Lord gathers the flock. He would draw your own people to you. You don't have to do. If you begin to do and can try to catch souls, I'm doing the. When you are doing that, you are taking away the role of the Holy Spirit in separating His church." In taking them where they belong, not everybody can come to me and be a member of the fellowship I lead. Some other people will go to other people. There are thousands upon thousands of men and women of God that God has are full of the Holy Spirit, that God has seeded with the world to disciple His world according to the level of the people, according to their level of enlightenment, education, according to their sphere of influence. There are people everywhere, and God is directing them. And then we said that, okay, we have to do place a billboard here, place a billboard there, man, do radio jingle, do TV jingle, do the why? Why? You are going to attract people with itchy hair. Because those who don't have itchy hair will never hear, will never come to you. I mean it. Once people know where they are going, they don't go anywhere else. Once they know, once the Lord tells them, this is where I've placed you, that is the end. The people you are going to attract are those who do not know where they are going. You are just trying to win them or sway them to your side. It is not necessary. I believe so much that the Holy Spirit guides His church, and He will tell each person what to do. Moses was in the wilderness when God went to call Aaron. The Bible said Aaron came to meet him in the wilderness. Aaron came to meet Moses. It was like, wow, God came to call me and God said, you are ready. I shall come and meet you. That's how Christianity is. We do not need to fight for the attention of people. The person with the right message that God has said will be the right teacher will meet his or our students, and they will grow together, and everybody will be blessed by the union. It is how the Spirit dispenses it. There is no need for anyone who is a minister of the gospel to envy or fight or try to steal or take what God has given to another. At the same time, there is no need for anybody who is in this place who is not satisfied to stay. If you are not satisfied, you move. When you come to a place of rest, you rest there. But when you get there, for you to be swayed here and there, persuaded this way, persuaded that way, because you are hearing this, you are hearing that, it is a bad thing for any believer. The word of God is your teacher. The church as a whole body is your body. Either you belong to Paul, you belong to Apollo, you belong to Cephas. Either you believe in the way this one ministers or in the way that one preaches, it doesn't matter. What matters is your faith with God, your personal walk, and your faith with God. Is that one that matters? When people are arguing doctrine, I laugh. You don't have to argue doctrine with anybody. What do I believe? I'm not interested in convincing the whole world. I just want to be convicted of what I believe. Do I still believe what I believe? Yes. Am I still working in it? Yes. That is all that matters. I have an audience of one. I don't, majority does not carry the vote with God. 1,000 people can believe in it, and God will say they are wrong. Who is going to hold God? So that we have many people believing in it does not then mean that we are the superior side. No, numbers do not matter when it comes to the reality of the Holy Spirit. One with God. It's always majority. It is not vox populi vox Dei. It is not voice of people, it's voice of God. No, it is voice of God, it's voice of God. If God says it is the way, if all of you say that's not the way, all of you are wrong. So what is the point of arguing? What I believe. And what I believe, I walk in. And what I walk in, I'm vindicated by. The just shall live by faith. Not by our faith, by his own faith. So build the tenets of your faith. Believe the scriptures. Close your ears to arguments and philosophies and all sort of the said deniers that people have attention span deficiency, whatever. So everybody's trying to come up with new snippets, new stuff to attract people. No. A Christian is not swayed here or there by such things. A Christian is built and equipped by the word of God and is anchored. You are anchored by the word. The word of God is your anchor. The word of God holds you down. You know what you believe. You know who you believe. You know it. You are no longer persuaded of trust here and there. You are nailed down. You are nailed down. You are steady. That is who a Christian is. And that is the strategy we are learning today. To be stable, to be steady, to be steadfast in the word of God. The Lord will keep you. He will keep his face to shine upon you. The Lord will give you peace on every side. As you have heard this word, you would adjust. You would adjust. You will do the things that you are supposed to do. You will do the things that you are meant to do. You will close the doors to the things that you are meant to close the door to. You are not going to engage people on levels of philosophy. Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said he should not engage people on philosophy, on genealogy, on all sort of nonsense talk. He said he should not. He should disregard such things. He should displace them. Why? Because the only little confusion, that's what EPS does. Leads to confusion. You hear all sorts, and then it begins to pollute your faith. Later, you begin to doubt. You begin to say, maybe Jesus is not the Lord. Maybe he didn't die. You begin to think like that. Why? Because somebody said something, or somebody said something, or somebody questioned something. Let your faith be strong. Let your faith be strong. It is the greatest thing. What a man believes is the software of his life. A software directs the activities of a computer. And without the software, the computer is dead. There has to be an operating system in a computer for the computer to be useful. The same way, what you believe is a software that operates your hardware. If you believe right, you will behave right, you will produce results. If your operating system is corrupt by all sorts of virus, based on all sorts of teaching and thinking and all the things you hear, it will affect your faith. It will affect your results. It will affect how they produce. It will affect your printer. It will affect your phone. It will affect everything. Then you have error everywhere. So endeavor to believe right. To stand firm in your faith. To be anchored and not to fall for each ears from now going forward. Thank you, Father, for you have blessed us and you have honored our word and you have honored our offering. Glory be to your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory!
Glory!
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.